to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Israel has been without a temple now for 70 years because it was Nebuchadnezzar who took Judah captive, and God told them in advance they'd be captive for 70 years. But when he came to take them captive, he also completely destroyed the temple from top to bottom, took everything down. And we saw last week how they came back. They were excited. They got started on the foundation. And then their enemies wrote a letter to the king. And he sent back, this is a new king, and he sent back and told them to stop, which is where we found ourselves last week, chapter 4, verse 24. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Chapter 5, then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem, in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of God helping them. So they began to build. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would learn tonight that we're going to face resistance like we saw last week, and that, Lord, you want us to go forward, no matter what the resistance, and serve you as you've commanded us to. And I pray, Lord, that we would grasp this great truth and see the maybe selfishness, and also see, Lord, how important it is that we put you first. So have your will in our hearts through your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So just to give you some time frames, that's about it was about a 5-year delay. Nobody knows exactly how long. It was somewhere between 4 and 10 years, but it's approximately 5 years that the work ceased. So at this point, all they had done was laying the new foundation, because Nebuchadnezzar even took apart the foundation of the temple. So that's all they've done, is they laid the foundation. The people, remember, they shouted, they were excited, but then the enemies that were around Jerusalem sent that letter back to this pre-Darius king and complained, and he sent back and said that they should stop. God then stirred up these two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. Now remember, we preached through the minor prophets, and they aren't necessarily in chronological order. They're more in kind of dispensational order. The exception to that is the last three. The last three are in chronological order. So Haggai, Zechariah, and then Malachi. So Haggai, Zechariah were, as we can see here, at the same time as the rebuilding of the temple, the rebuilding of the wall with Ezra and Nehemiah, then Malachi came last. He was the last to prophesy before what we call the 400 silent years. So that brings us, if we could, over to Haggai chapter 1. And Haggai is now speaking to Israel, who has stopped building the temple. And this is God saying to them, I want you to build the temple. I brought you back. I worked it out with the other king to bring you back. So the 50,000 Jews are still there. They came back. But they're obviously working on their own homes and not working on the temple. So Haggai chapter 1, verse 1, in the second year of Darius, so same time frame, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed... Sorry, it's a question. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lieth lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So God stirs up Haggai to say, you guys are rebuilding your homes here in Jerusalem, or they would have claimed homes. And the temple is still sitting there, not built. Consider your ways. So the people had put off this restoration of God's house, which is the main reason why they came back to Jerusalem, was to rebuild the temple. They put it off for 5 years now, and God says through Haggai, consider your ways. I want you to stop and think about what you're doing, that you're basically putting yourselves before my plan, what I told you to do, which is to come back and rebuild the temple. Consider your ways. He says it a couple of times in this chapter. Verse 6, you've sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but ye are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. This is God speaking directly to Israel through his prophet and saying, you stopped building the temple. I told you to come back and build the temple. Since you stopped, I'm withholding a lot of blessings. Because I already told you what to do. I told you what my will was. I told you how I wanted you to serve me. And you chose to stop. And you're basically miserable until you get right and get back on track. Interesting, isn't it? He says, no matter what you do, there's not enough to drink. There's not enough to eat. There's not enough clothes to keep you warm. You're earning wages to go into a bag with holes. You're miserable. Look at Revelation 3:17. He said the same thing to the church here in Revelation chapter 3. And he's basically saying to the church as well that you think you have it, everything made, and you're actually miserable. Notice Revelation 3:17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So there's that word miserable. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and be zealous therefore. And repent. So back to Haggai 1, God is saying to them, consider your ways. Look at verse 7. He says it again. Consider where your current path is taking you. You came back here for the express purpose of rebuilding my temple, and you've stopped, and I want you to consider why you're not being blessed. It's because you stopped doing what I told you to do. Isn't that a scriptural principle? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. They're sowing selfishness. What are they reaping? They're reaping a bag with holes. So notice verse 8. This is a command directly from God to Israel through Haggai the prophet. Go up into the mountain, bring wood, and build the house. That's pretty clear instructions, isn't it? No ambiguity there. Go up in there, cut down some trees, bring them to Jerusalem, and build this house that I told you to build. And if you will do that, verse 8, I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Now, does God need a house? Does God need a temple here on earth? No. So it's not about the house, is it? It's about obedience. It's about restoring worship the way God had commanded them to worship. Remember, this is pre-Calvary. It's about putting God first. That was the issue. Well, it's still the issue. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. Put God first. And his righteousness and all those these things should be added unto you. In John 6:27, turn there quickly. Jesus explained that so many people labor for the wrong things. John 6:27, labor not, he says, for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Quit serving self and start serving me. Jesus said the same thing, didn't he? Also look at 1 Peter 4:2. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2, talking again about those that would love life and see good days. He says in chapter 4, verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. God is saying, for the past 5 years, you've just been serving yourselves, rebuilding your houses, and mine lies waste. I told you to come back and build my house, putting me first. And until you do, your wages are just going to keep going into a bag with holes. I'm going to withhold the blessings. Well, what does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then what? All these things. What are these things? Food and raiment. Our needs. The blessings. So the blessing is Haggai chapter 1. Their response. If only they had been this way prior to the captivity, huh? Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed. Amen? Obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. They said, we hear you, Lord. We're going to build the house. Yeah, the king told us to stop, but the other king told us to do it. So we're just going to do what you told us to do. They obeyed. What a good word, huh? Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Obey me. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And look how the tone changes now, verse 13. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you. He just got done saying, I'm not with you. That's why you don't have enough food, you don't have enough drink, you don't have enough clothes, you don't have enough wages. But because they listened to Haggai and they obeyed, God says, now I'm with you. Remember Deuteronomy 28, if you turn there quickly, where Moses is wrapping things up. Let's turn there to Deuteronomy 28. And he gave us these long lists, if you will, of blessings and cursings. Now, the cursings list is like triple the size of the blessings list. But it all came down to one thing. Deuteronomy 28, it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Deuteronomy 28, 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. 100% contingent upon one thing, obedience. Obedience to the word of God. So all the way down through verse 14, God lists the blessings. But then in verse 15, if thou wilt not hearken, if you choose to disobey, 15 all the way down through 60. Eight is the cursings for disobedience. So God says to them here back in Haggai chapter 1, I'm with you. God says the same to us. If we will obey, if we will go forward and obey His word and serve Him, He promises to be with us. And so what happened? Verse 14, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Amen. Again, it's not about the house, is it? It's not about the timber. It's not about the stones. It's about their hearts. God commanded them to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. They started the foundation and stopped. And He's saying, until you obey me, I'm going to withhold the blessings. They said, okay, let's go to work. It's beautiful, isn't it? Little revival happening here. So 23 days after Haggai's prophetic message, they started building. And it took them, if you look at Ezra chapter 6, verse 15, took them about 4 years. Remember, the temple wasn't tiny, and it was very specifically ornate in certain ways. So this wasn't just like building a house. This was a big deal. And they had to go back and get all the dimensions again from, remember, Moses' commands where he laid everything out, what it, even the posts were to look like. They had to go back and redo all of that. And it only took them, Ezra 6:15, and this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. Remember, they restarted in the second year of Darius the king, and they finished the sixth year. So it took them about 4 years to rebuild the temple. And so back to our passage. That was just background. No, I'm kidding. Back to our passage there in chapter 5 of Ezra. Verse 2, then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of God helping them. You know what? That's not the end of the story. Do you think the enemies just said, well, okay, whatever, and just sat back and said, we'll let them build it? No. It's not what happened at all. Verse 3, at the same time came to them Tattenai, the governor of this side of the river, and this other guy, and their companions, and said thus unto them, who hath commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? Then said we unto them after this manner, what are the names of the men that make this building? But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not cause them to cease till the matter came to Darius. Then they returned answer by letter concerning this matter, the copy of the letter that Tattenai, governor on this side of the river, and this other guy and his companions, the Pharashites, which were on this side of the river, sent unto Darius the king. And they sent a letter unto him, wherein was written thus, unto Darius the king, all peace. Be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea to the house of the great God, which is builded with great stones, and timber is laid in the walls, and this work goeth fast on, and prospereth in their hands. Then asked we those elders, and said unto them this, thus, who commanded you to build this house, and to make up these walls? We asked their names also, to certify thee, that we might write the names of the men that were the chief of them. And thus they returned us answer, saying, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build the house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. That's Solomon, of course. But after that our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away into Babylon. But in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build this house of God. And the vessels also of gold and silver of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, and brought them into the temple of Babylon. Those did Cyrus the king take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor, and said unto him, take these vessels, go, carry them into the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be builded in his place. Then came the same Sheshbazzar, and laid the foundation of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And since that time, even until now, hath it been building, and yet it is not finished. Now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. We'll stop there for tonight. But remember, new king now. Cyrus is dead. Darius is the king. They wouldn't give them the names. They just said, we're the servants of God. And we're rebuilding this temple because it's our own fault that it got torn down because of our sin. But God told us to come back, and God stirred up Cyrus to send us back. He even sent us back with all the vessels that were that he took out of the temple when he destroyed it. And said, go rebuild the temple. And we're asking Darius to go check the records and see if this is true. And I think you can all guess what happened. Darius checked the records and said, oh, sure enough, Cyrus did send them back to rebuild the temple. Go ahead and finish it. What a blessing. You know, the Bible says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Proverbs 21:1. As the rivers of waters, he turneth it whithersoever he will. God's the one that stirred up Cyrus to send them back in the first place. And God's the one that softened Darius to this letter, this response letter, to say, yeah, as we'll see next week in chapter 6, go ahead. So a little mini revival. What always brings revival? Repentance and obedience. That's it. Repentance and obedience. And they began to build after God said, you're sealing, you're fixing up your houses and mine's still waste. Go build it like I told you to. Go get some trees. Bring them down. Build the temple like I commanded you to. And I'm sure you love verse 12 like I do. They obeyed. Amen. And God blessed them for obeying. And they spent 4 years and they finished it. Isn't that a blessing? They began to build. Do you think God wants us to keep building His church by telling people about Jesus? Absolutely. Never does He tell us to stop. Does Satan want us to stop? Yep. Is He going to keep stirring people up to try to get us to stop? Yep. God says, build. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we love You. We thank You for this beautiful example of the Israelites deciding to do the right thing by obeying Your word. I pray we would do the same, that we would obey Your word, that we would serve You, we'd be faithful to You, we would honor You with our lives. And Lord, we know that the blessings will come if we will just obey. So thank You for